Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning to you. You're very welcome to the programme. Coming up today, why the Gardaí say investment fraud figures are staggering. We're going to hear from the head of the National Economic Crime Bureau, the president of the Medical Council, Dr. Suzanne Crowe, on why her personal experience has prompted her to raise awareness of the issues facing people in the aftermath of the death of a loved one. Campaigners explain why they want an Ice Age forest in Cork to be declared a national park. Heels and power dressing have had their day, but what should you wear to the office now? Aoife Dunnican, also known as the Style Bob, has advice, and from a row over taxing land to a ban on phones in secondary schools. The Gathering casts an eye over the news of the week, and you can get in touch with us today by texting 51551 or emailing todaycb@rte.ie. Almost 61,000 students around the country are at this moment receiving their Leaving Cert results online. It's the third year running that grades have been inflated to bring them in line with the record highs of recent years. This follows on from a commitment given to the class of 2024 by the Minister for Education, Norma Foley. Now, in a moment, I'm going to get some practical advice for both students and parents from Donica O'Mahony, who's a career guidance teacher at Loretto Stephens Green. But first, I'm joined from our Limerick studio by Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. Good morning to you, Minister.
Morning, Claire. Morning to your listeners.
I'm sure you want to send your best wishes, first of all, to those who are getting the results only since 10 o'clock, so in the last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a huge day for so many people, and I just want to congratulate them. It's a culmination of a huge amount of work that they started from a lot of them from the time that they finished their junior cert, for others from the time they finished transition year. And you know, it's not what it was 30 years ago. I have to say, though, when I did my Leaving Cert this year, you know, it's not the be all and end all, and I want to be, you know, really, I suppose some people are going to be ecstatic, other people are going to be disappointed. There are many different routes, and I know that this has been said in this show and other shows over the last couple of days, but look, as Minister for Responsibility for this cohort of students now, as they move on in their educational journey, there are so many different routes now than what there was when we did our Leaving Certs. And I think that you know, for those that are disappointed, I think the most important thing is that they talk to people, their parents, you know, their guidance counsellors, and the support network that are there within the ETBs and elsewhere. And for those that are over the moon, you know, it's just congratulations, you've worked really hard. I know that it's a wider family experience. I'm here on WhatsApp at the moment from the Limerick studio, just hearing my niece Molly's Leaving Cert results. She's waiting for them in Bandon in County Cork. So look, her and her class, it's a wider family experience, and I know that a lot of people will be over the moon, and but some will be disappointed, but it isn't the be all and end all.
Yeah, and they shouldn't worry. Now, let's just talk about the grade inflation though at 7.5%, because this is going to get a bit sticky now from next year, because there's no doubt that the class of 2025, those going in to do their Leaving Cert year now, starting it this week, if they're competing for college places with people who did their Leaving Cert in recent previous years, they're at a disadvantage, aren't they? There's no two ways about that.
Well, look, I suppose you have to look at it in the round, really. You have to look at the history as to why the Department of Education and the State's Examination Commission have done exactly what they needed to do, in light of the fact that a lot of these students didn't have a normal school experience when they went into secondary school from primary school because of COVID. Thankfully, now that's long behind us. And the Department of Education always said that there wouldn't be a cliff edge, but there would be an unwinding, a natural unwinding with the state examination Nations Commission, and that 2025 would be the start to that. But look, I think that the Department of Education and my colleague Minister Foley will probably be able to provide further detail in the coming months as to how that's going to be managed. But from our perspective in the Department of Higher Education, and you know, with the universities and the ITs, we're cognizant, and we will obviously be very aware of potential complications that will arise. And I think both departments have an opportunity now that the last class really of COVID-related grades and things like that, with Minister Foley saying that she's going to unwind it for 2025, yeah, will be an opportunity for us to trash it out.
Right. And but we know, like, that you say it's not going to be a cliff edge, so it's not going to be totally unwound in year one, but it's going to be enough to make a difference for those people who have maximum points between getting a course and not getting a course. I'm sure you would expect that there will probably be legal challenges when we get to that point.
Well, I'd hope that that wouldn't be the case. But look, every year we have a situation where people, you know, get maximum points and don't get necessarily the courses that they want if they have to go for particular courses where there's a limited number of places. You know, we've had situations in the past where people, you know in their heart and soul that there might be a lottery element and things like that. That has happened in the past. So, look, I think that one of the things that is worth pointing out is that we've seen a huge growth in the number of places, particularly the very sought-after places. Even I was on this programme in the not-too-distant past talking about the growth, for instance, in physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy. We're growing medicine as well. These would have been the ones that would have traditionally have always sought the greatest number of points. And our department is anxious with the universities to grow that sector even further.
Mm-hmm. But that's not going to solve all of the problems. And for you specifically, there's an issue now with increased dropout rates, where we've gone from an average of 9% pre-COVID to 15%. So people are accepting courses that they're not able to get through, or they find when they're in there, oh, this really isn't meant for me. And they probably wouldn't be on that course if they hadn't had the inflated Leaving Cert result.
Well, look, I listened to your colleague Emma O'Kelly this morning on Morning Ireland talking about this, and you know, I think she gave a fair assessment. There's a lot of very different reasons as to why people drop out of college and drop out of potential courses. It was always a phenomenon. It has always been a phenomenon. But you're right, the number has gone up. But you know, there's a variety of different complexities that Emma O'Kelly pointed out this morning on Morning Ireland, and I don't think one ingredient alone can be attributed to why people drop out, but it's certainly something, look, as the Minister with responsibility for it, that it is something that we'd be concerned about. We want to make sure that we grow the budget, particularly for student advice, counselling, supports, and we have done that. Simon Harris did it when he was in the department. I hope to be able to do it as well this year, to make sure that people, when they make that transition, because it is, for an awful lot of people, this is a huge transition, particularly if you're going from an isolated rural location to Dublin or Cork or even across the border into Belfast. It is a massive transition, and for a lot of people, for a variety of different reasons, it just doesn't work out. But we want to make sure that the universities and the ITs have the necessary budgets and support and personnel to make sure that students are supported to the best extent possible.
Okay, and the other issue, of course, they're facing is accommodation. And we know now that once the offers are made, the race will be on to try and secure accommodation. The Union of Students of Ireland made a number of suggestions using the budget surplus to build more accommodation. Also on transport, they wanted free transport for students. Are any of those things on your agenda in the short term?
Well, look, we'll consider everything, and Simon Harris and myself yesterday met the heads of all the third levels in government buildings, and you know, it wouldn't come as any great surprise what the university sector are looking for by way of budget 2020. And our department will certainly be trying to get the maximum amount possible for budget 2025 out of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform in terms of direct monies, and out of the Department of Finance in terms of tax matters that will affect parents and students themselves. Mm-hmm. So look, we have a variety of different headings from SUSE to student supports, but we've done a lot as well in the last number of months in terms of legislation that we brought in with the Department of Housing, for instance, around the 52-week rent demands that some people in student accommodation were demanding that now can no longer be the case. And we also did, in last year's budget, increase the renter's tax credit, which is important for people that are renting accommodation, and as well as that, for people that are providing digs accommodation. And I know that this has seen a huge growth in the last number of years, and we want to grow it further, that they're either their pensions or their individual tax affairs wouldn't be in any way discommoded by providing accommodation for students. And that's something that I'd be hoping to have a further discussion with Jack Chambers on.
Minister, on other matters, this row we had this week over the residential zoned land tax, and the Green Party apoplectic over these plans now to defer it for another year, saying that it's like hiding food in a famine. What's going to happen?
I think, in fairness to Claire, I think apoplectic might be stretching it a bit far now.
I had a Green Party minister in here during the week, and he was, it was described in one of the papers today, as perplexed and angry over what was coming through.
I think people need to cool the jets here a small bit. I mean, it's a long time ago that Michael Ring brought a motion to the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party on this very issue. Actually, it was one of the only Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meetings that I attended that I wasn't on your show the following morning explaining what happened at it. And if we were, it might have dampened down an awful lot of what's happened in the last couple of days. Because look, from our perspective, we want to exempt active farmers, and the Department of Agriculture have very clear definitions around what is an active farmer. You know, I have situations in my own constituency of where people had zoned land, they have no intention of developing it. In many cases, it's not serviced. There's no sewer, there's no public lighting, there's no water. They went to Limerick City and County Council, for instance, to get the land de-zoned successfully. Some of them had to go out on Bord Plan Alla to get the land de-zoned. Others, you know, are in a situation where in many cases they might not even be aware of it. So from our perspective, given the massive contribution that agriculture makes to the rural economy, and the Taoiseach has been at pains to point this out for the last number of weeks as he has gone all over the country visiting every forecast roads at agricultural shows, that he didn't want, and we don't want as a party, to see agriculture and active farming being anyway adversely impacted by this.
Is that a tweak though, or is it a deferral for another year at least?
What it is a position that a party lays out at a parliamentary party, and ultimately the decision around this is a government decision that will be taken by the three party leaders and the two finance ministers.
Fianna Fáil seem to have decided it.
Well, look, there's a lot of things that come into the budget. Student accommodation, tax for tax breaks for people who provide student fees. You know, there's a whole pile of things, the SUSE grant. There's a load of stuff around disability that I would like to do that I just don't go out and announce. Because first of all, I have to
get... Like Jack Chambers did on this one.
First of all, I have to get the approval of the spending minister. And secondly, I have to get the approval of the tax minister. And then I have to get the approval of the entire cabinet. So look, I suppose the one thing that being in the Dáil for the last 13 years in government has taught me is that coalition is not about, you know, everybody getting everything that they want all the time. And it's always about compromise, but it's also about making sure that at the centre, the two economic ministries of public expenditure and finance are the powerhouse, really, of how government works and the budget being brought forward both of them jointly.
Bottom line here, ministers, you're telling me that no decision has been made on this yet.
But sure, the budget hasn't been announced, Claire, and like no tax measures have been agreed by the government or the party leaders. No tax measures have been brought to cabinet. No finance bill has been drafted or published. So we'll get to all that in time, but I suppose each individual party around this matter has laid out its stall. And from the Fine Gael point of view, I can just reiterate that when it comes to active farming, we don't want them discommoded. But by the same token, and I heard my constituency colleague on primetime last night, Niall Collins, saying, you know, we also don't want this tax dismantled, because at the end of the day, this is a policy that is contained in the Department of Housing's Housing for All policy and strategy, and will be needed to unlock land, particularly in large urban areas that currently isn't unlocked.
All right, we'll leave it there. Minister, thank you for joining us. Minister Patrick O'Donovan. As I said, Donica O'Mahony is here with his career guidance teacher. We go back now to the Leaving Cert results. Donica, thanks very much for coming in. A huge day. So we're 17 minutes in now from the students receiving all of their results. We do have these grades now, as we said, they're going to be up by 7.5% on pre-COVID levels, but there'll be an awful lot of competition once again for those college places.
There'll still be an awful lot of competition, and that will happen next Wednesday, the 28th of August, when the CEO first round offers come out. But overall, I think a lot of students will be very happy with their grades this morning, with the 62,000 getting. Like the minister, I was talking to my nephew before I came in there, he was getting his Leaving Cert results, he was very happy. And I think across the board, people will be very happy. Like the 7.5% is just the average. If you're down the lower end of the scale, it's likely you went up by about 12.1%. And the higher end of the scale, you went up by about 4.8%. So all in all, you know, it was a pretty good Leaving Cert. Even Maths H1s went up by 1.7% this year. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a bit of an anomaly next Wednesday, because you'll have more students then who got 625 points. So the minister mentioned it there, but there will be more competition for those top places. And it's not just the healthcare. There's business, there's finance, there's all of these different courses that have been 625 points in the last number of years, and I think they'll have more competition next Wednesday.
And just looking ahead then to the class of 2025, when we have this inflation coming down, if you don't get what you want this year, you would be very tempted to wait until next year, wouldn't you, if you're right on the borderline?
Yeah, now, if 2019 taught us anything, it would be not to wait, because you just don't know what's going to happen. Like, there's still people from 2019 Leaving Cert results who are holding off to 2020, 2021, when it started to rise. So if I was myself getting an offer this year, I would take it. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'd wait, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you will have some people who want a particular course and who will see that the inflated marks are going to come down, and they'll chance holding on, which it can be very strongly argued puts the class of 2025 at a disadvantage.
Yeah, so they're talking about 4.5% average inflation next year. And it's very disappointing, because countries around the world, US, Canada, UK, Europe, are all back to normal. In fact, we have a 9% drop off of CEO applicants from Northern Ireland this year, and it's likely because of the great inflation that they just can't compete with their A levels against the Leaving Cert. So it is very difficult for students, and it'll be more difficult for the students, because about 25% of CEO applicants are from previous years' Leaving Certs. So that's 1 in 4 will have probably stronger Leaving Cert results next year.
Yes,
applying through the CEO. So it will be difficult for next year's class.
But look, the minister said it there. The Leaving Cert is not what it was 30 years ago. It's not the only way into things. We know that now. People appear to be clear on that when they're coming out of school, that there are lots of other avenues. But just give us a rundown of what you can do if you don't get what you expected today.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the new tertiary degrees that Simon Harris brought out last year. So tertiary degrees require no CEO points. You start off your degree in a College of Further Education, so a PLC college. You pay the PLC fees for the first year or two, depending on how long you're in there. And then you start paying the college fees when you do your third, fourth year. And you know in third and fourth year that you're going to go to that specific college, so you can get accommodation sorted a year in advance. It's not like these students from next Wednesday will have about 2 weeks to get their accommodation sorted. It'll be a big dash. Mm-hmm. The tertiary degree will allow that. So financially, it's a little bit easier. CEO points, none required. It's just a more or less a basic Leaving Cert of about 2 H5s, 4 O6s. So students can look at that on nto.ie. There's more courses put on this year, and that will grow and grow each year, but it's certainly worth looking at. You have other things like PLCs are amazing. Apprenticeships have really come on since 2015, since Solus took over. You have everything from science, engineering, auctioneering, insurance. You name it, there's an apprenticeship in it, and that's earn as you learn. So you're getting paid as you're getting your qualification. And some of the qualifications are a level 8 degree as well. On Thursday, there'll be available places. So that's basically any CEO courses that weren't filled. They're essentially re-advertised to students. Look, if you want to put this on your list now, you can, and we'll offer it to you in the second round. Mm-hmm. The UK have something similar called clearing. Again, if you haven't applied for UCAS in the UK, you can apply for that today with your Leaving Cert results. And there's still courses open in Europe. I did an Instagram live about different health sciences in Poland just last night. So there's still medicine, pharmacy, physiotherapy, all these different types of courses opened in Poland still for application.
Okay, and what are the big questions that people are asking you on your Instagram page? Because that's really where we get a feel for what's going on.
Yeah, so today it won't be about points. Today it'll be about entry requirements and university requirements. So there's 3 hurdles to clear before you're even offered a course. The first one is you must meet the university requirements. Second one is course requirements. Third hurdle then is your points. So they'll only look at your points if you've cleared the first 2 hurdles before they offer you a course. So university entry requirements could be something basic like you must have English, Irish, maths, whatever the case may be. And then you have your course requirements. So for primary school, for example, primary education, you would need a H4 in Irish. So say you got 500 points in your Leaving Cert, you'd be getting your primary education course. However, if you got a H5 in your Irish, you wouldn't be offered that.
Okay.
So today it's students like that who maybe didn't get the entry requirements to the course or to the college. They'll be asking what's a way around that.
Right. Okay. But when it comes to how many points will I need for this course next Wednesday, there's questions you can't answer.
No. And I know people in the CEO and they don't even know till the day of, because they have to get the Leaving Cert results now today. They're being sent over to the CEO. They have to calculate everything. And the points that you will see next Wednesday in the newspapers online, those points are actually the last person who got a place on the course. That's the points they had.
Right. OK, so that's all to be played out. Yeah. Donica, thank you so much. It'll be a busy week ahead for you. Thanks so much for coming in. Donica, you can find on Instagram under Leaving Cert Guidance, and he has lots of advice and tips for students and parents there. Now, coming up, a new way forward, said Kamala Harris at last night's Democratic National Convention. But can she beat Donald Trump? That's the real question, isn't it? That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.